Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur the second line from the top of daf Mem Ches. Before we begin the shiur, as you notice in the Gemara, a couple of triangles will be appearing, and on the side of our Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, the Mivneh is the structure, a structural note, we feature a triangle, and you notice the word Chazyuha in a set of quotation marks. That's the word that will be emphasized in our triangles. You have Chazyuha and then Chazyeh. These are Shnei Mikrim, two incidents, Rak Orishon Koshur L'Sugya Senu, just the first one will be associated with our Sugya, Shehoya Bohem Hanhoga Misuyemes. You'll see practice is featured, and the Goar Bo Rabo, Rabo will be aroused, upset with what he sees, the Shoal Rebbe Zera Amai, and Rebbe Zera is featured as questioning why, what is the problem. Now the Gemara. Rabo Rabbi Zera Iklu Rebbe Resh Glusa. They went to visit the house of the head of the community, exile, the Resh Glusa, the exilarch. Chazyua Lahu Avdo. They noticed a servant, the Onach Kuza de Maya Apuma de Kumkuma. Noticing, and this of course is on Shabbos, where one of the servants took a Kuza de Maya, this is a cup of cold water, and put it on the top of a kumkuma. This is a unit in which water is heated up. Nazhe Rabo. Rabo expressed his objection. Omar Le Rabbi Zera, my shno mimecham al gabi mecham. What's different between this case and something that's allowed, namely the placing of a mecham on top of another mecham? And we explained a moment ago, the mecham is a unit in which water is heated up. Omar Le, so Rabbi answers, there's a difference. Hosam ukume ko moikim. There, he is maintaining the heat. His point, his desire is simply to maintain the heat in the mecham that he's placing on top of the other mecham. Hocha, in the case that I'm upset with, alodi komoilid, he is imposing heat into something that right now is cold. and that is something that is that we would object to. Hodar chazio de poras de studar apume de kuba. He then noticed that the servant, poras is to spread out, a de studar is a sudar shorosh, it's a, we'll call it a head turban, it's made of fabric, and he spread it out over the opening of a kankana, a jug, a receptacle holding liquids, ve onach natlo iluya, and on top of this spread out fabric, he then placed a natla. This is Rashi says, "Kli shishavim yayin min akuba." It's the, we'll call it the ladle or the cup that usually is used for drawing the water from the kuba, from the barrel. Naze Rabo. Rabo was upset. Amarle Rabbi Zera Mai. Rabbi Zera asks, "Well, what's wrong with this?" Amarle hash the chazis. Just now, you'll see. Lesof chazia de komertzir lei. He then noticed that the servant was wringing out the head turban from the wine that it absorbed. Amarle maishna bi parvanka. What's different between this and spreading out a Parvanka, it's Rashi says, Beged ha'osui lifros al agigis sheporsen oso b'shabbos. This is a fabric that people are customary in covering barrels with them on Shabbos. So that here, spreading out the parvanka is okay, and yet the case with the distudor was not okay. Amale hosam lo kopili luya. In the case of the parvanka, the owner doesn't care about what happens to it. He's not going to come to wring it out. And we should have pointed out maybe earlier that wringing out fabrics is what's called schita, and it's a squeezing out or wringing out, and that's forbidden on Shabbos. Haha, kopid iluyo. In the case of the head turban, he doesn't want it to get soiled in the wine. He's upset with that, and he'll come to wring it out. Therefore, already when he spread out the distuder on top of the barrel and put the nakla on it, you're already asking for trouble. Velo b'tevin. One is not to matmin in tevin, in straw. Bomine rav ado bar matona me'abaye. Muchin shetoman bohen mahu l'tatalon b'shabes. Muchin, we've described in the past, is actually an umbrella term for all kinds of soft material. Rashi adds here, Einon elo lasus mem levodim shikorin felter. Felter, like the English word felt, it's pieces of fabric that are used in making that kind of material. Umuktsin hein melemalocha v'asur letaltalon. They are set aside for making fabric and not for anything else. And hence, they are not to be moved around on Shabbos. They don't have any Shabbos use, per se, in a normal sense. The elu shetoman bohen, in the case that we're asking about right now, it's the soft fabric that was used for insulating a pot. Mi amrinon, do we say, yichadon lahatmona, that by having used it, he thereby is setting it aside for hatmona, the ikotoras kliolein umutu l'taltalon b'shabbos, olo. By having used it, is the use of it in a hatmona capacity the same as designating it for that? Now, if it is, if it's the same as designating it for hatmona, then it's not any more reckoned as a fabric material, as a material for making fabrics, but rather a hatmona material, and as such, it would be something you could move around on Shabbos. So the question Ravada is asking is, what is the status of muchen that was used? And we're emphasizing used, but it wasn't designated per se. Omar Le, Abaye answers, V'chi mipnei she'ein lo kupa shel teven, oimed umafkir kupa shel muchen. Just because he doesn't have the straw material, which is the more common and much cheaper hatmona material, he is going to declare a box of muchen, which is expensive, something for hatmona. No, he wouldn't do that. So this answers the question, that the mere use of it, will say it's like a one-time use of the muchen for hatmona. That doesn't mean he's designated it henceforth for hatmona. So the use does not constitute a basis for allowing the movement of the muchen. Lemo misayale. Can we say that the following Tanaic source supports this? Toimnin begize tzemer ubetzife tzemer ubeleshoine shel argomon uve muchen. A number of different materials are referred to here. Wool, tzemer is wool, so we have wool shearings and other forms of wool in a more advanced state of wool production, and material that was dyed in the argomon dye, and muchen. We're here really to emphasize the muchen. And it says in this source that they can be used as an insulation material, the ein metaltalin osan, but you cannot move them around. And Rashi explains that the attempt of the Gemara here is to say that even though he used it, it nevertheless is not licensed for now moving it around. And that would be a support to Abaye's response above. The Gemara, though, says this is not convincing. E mishum ha lo irya. If the source as it is, it is not a proof to Abaye, because hachi ka'omar, you could read it as follows. Im lo toman bohen ein metaltalin osan. The materials mentioned, including the muchen, if you didn't use it, then you can't move it. However, if you used it, even if you hadn't actually designated it for that, then you still would be allowed to move it, unlike Abaye. Ihachi, if that's the way to understand the source, my lemeimra, then what need is there to teach it even? That's fairly obvious. Namely, if you didn't use it for hatmona, so you can't move it around. So, mahu detema chozi lemizga layu. One might have thought, without being taught this source, that the muchen is fit for, it's a soft material, and you can recline on it. And therefore, even without having done hatmona with it, you should be allowed to move it. Kamash malon. So we're telling you that no, the fact that it might be fit for reclining on it does not make it such that you can move it around on Shabbos. But, as we said before, if you used it for hatmona, even if you hadn't designated it for hatmona, you might very well still be able to move it around. The use of it would be tantamount to designating it for hatmona. And if we would conclude that, then it would be unlike Abaye's ruling. We have a little star here that draws your attention to a note in the margin where the singular star is. We've written He'orah, just want to point something out. Mikan adaf mem tesom aleph. So from here till that daf, which is a little ways off from here, ein ha-gemora asuka be'inyan hatmona. The Gemara is not going to be dealing with hatmona. Elo me'achar she'ha-gemora hizkira muchin, but simply since the Gemara mentioned muchin, ha-gemora tidon b'hachzoras muchin lekoriot. The Gemara is going to deal with a question of returning pillow stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos, v'achakach tasuk b'inyan tumas kelim, and then the Gemara will shift over to a topic involving tumas kelim, so that from this point till the upper part of Mem Tesom and Aleph, we'll be taking a sort of break from the issue of hatmona. The Gemara, Rav Chista shora la'aduri udra lebeisadia b'shabbata. Rav Chista allowed the return of udra. Udra is muchen, it's the soft material that in this case was used as pillow stuffing, and to return it, to restuff a pillow, even though it happens to be Shabbos. Esvei Rav Chonon bar Chista l'Rav Chista. Rav Chonon raises an objection from the following Tanaic source. The opening of the source we put in brackets, and on the side where the double star appears, Tam l'Sograim, the reason for these brackets is Iker Hakushya Mimashikotoni Achreim. The main question comes from that which is after the brackets. But Sof HaOmud HaGemor Choseris L'Inyan Psichas Beis HaTzavar B'Shabbos, the Gemara at the end of the Omud will go back to deal with the topic that's inside of these brackets. Well, with all that having been said, we have a source, and right after brackets, you can see it says, V'ein noisnes hamuchen lolosol hakar, you're not supposed to put pillow stuffing into the pillow. And the source will say not to do it on Yontif, and certainly not to do it on Shabbos. So now the entire source. Rav Chonon asks from the following. It says, Matirin beis hatzavor b'Shabbos, avolo poischin. A beis hatzavor is a collar of a of an article of clothing. Matirin is to untie the collar that when it was given to wash, to the washman, it was customary for them to tie the collar shut. So you can untie the collar or the neck hole of a garment on Shabbos, avolo poschin. But if there's a garment that's in its manufacturing stage, you cannot make a slit for the head, for one's head, in the fabric. That's the poschin is the beginning, the first time that the opening is made, so that cannot be done on Shabbos. That's usur. V'ein noisten es hamuchen lo l'soch hakar v'lo l'soch hakeses b'yom tov. one is not allowed to stuff a pillow nor a mattress on Yom Tov with the muchen, with the soft fabric stuffing. The ein tzorach lomar b'Shabbos, and it goes without saying that if you can't do it on Yom Tov, you certainly would not be allowed to do it on Shabbos. But what we see from this source is you cannot put stuffing in pillows. So how can Rav Chisda rule that you're allowed to put stuffing back into pillows? The Gemara answers, lo kashya, ha b'chadati, ha b'atiki. There's no question on Rav Chisda. If it's a new pillow that's being made for the first time, so that's what the source is talking about. You can't stuff a pillow on Shabbos. However, if you have a pillow that was functioning as a pillow and the stuffing fell out, so that you can put the stuffing back in. Tanyo nami hoch, and a Tanaic source that supports this. Ein noisnes amuchen lo lesocha kav lo lesocha keses biyom tov v'ein tzorach lomer b'Shabbos. One cannot stuff the muchen material into a pillow nor into a mattress on Yom Tov, and it goes without saying that you cannot do it on Shabbos. Noshru machzirinos on b'Shabbos v'ein tzorach lomar biyom tov. We dashed underline the expression noshru machzirinos because this is the point that we want to bring out, that this is what Rav Chisda was talking about, that if it fell out, you can put it back into the pillow on Shabbos, and if you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, we don't have to tell you that it certainly will be allowed on Yom Tov. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav HaPoseach Beis HaTzavar B'Shabbos Chayev Chatas. And as we mentioned before in our comment regarding the brackets that we had before, here the Gemara goes back to that which was mentioned in the brackets, that here if one made a neck opening in a piece of fabric for the first time, and he did this on Shabbos, that will be chayev a chatas. A person will have to bring a sin offering if he did it inadvertently, not realizing that it was Shabbos, or not realizing that that is a forbidden act. The iser here, Rashi calls, it's called makeh bepatish. It's the completion of making something. In this case, he's making a garment. This is a final stage in the making of a garment. Maskif lo rav kahana. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rav Kana asks, Ma bein zu lemegufas chovis? What is the difference between opening up a neck hole on a garment and the lopping off of the barrel top, the barrel top, which was sealed with a clay seal? Now, it's mutter to remove the clay seal from a barrel, so you're creating an opening. That's allowed, and yet the opening of a neck hole on a garment is not allowed. Amar le Rava, Rava answers, Ze chibur, veze eino chibur. In the case of the fabric, chibur literally means it's an attachment. But what it means is that the hole is being made from the cutting of the actual fabric itself, which is part of the fabric. You're cutting away a piece of the fabric itself. In the case of the chovis, you're not removing a piece of the barrel. The clay seal is, as the name indicates, it's a clay, it's made of clay, that seals a barrel, which we'll say a wooden barrel, that's not part of the barrel itself. And therefore, even though it's stuck to it, it's not considered something attached, and it's there to be removed. As opposed to a piece of fabric, when the fabric is woven, you can't say that any particular part of that fabric is made to be removed. Only later, when he decides to use the fabric that was woven and make it into a garment, so then he designates what he wants to have to be cut away. But you can see the relationship between the hole made in the fabric and the removal of the barrel seal is quite different. The Gemara continues. Here we have a question. We have a long question on the side under to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dash line, indicating that we have a question that will last the number of lines of Gemara parallel or opposite this vertical dash line. Rami le Rabbi Yirmiya le Rabbi Zera. Before we continue further in the question, we should take advantage of our topic heading on the side. We have something called Nosei, and we've written the Nosei is the topic, Chibur Shelo B'Shas Melocha L'Inyan Tumah. We're talking about items that are attached to one another at a point in time that you're not actually using the items. Does the fact that one of the items becomes tame affect the other items that are attached to it? And shelo b'shas melacha means at a time that you're not actually using the all of the items. Rav Yirmiya raises an objection, raises a contradiction to in the presence of Rabbi Zeira. Tanan. On the one hand, the source says, Shlal shel kofsin v'shalshelis shel maftechos v'abeged shutofer b'kilayim chibur l'tuma ad shi'asr lahatir. Shlal shel kofsin, it's a number of garments that are given to a washman, and they will attach one to the other so that it's easier to wash them in one bunch and in at one time, and that one shouldn't get lost from another. You can imagine a simple example of this would be someone who attaches a bunch of socks together, possibly with a thread threading all the socks together into one cluster of socks. That would be a shlal shel kofsin. Shalshelos shel maftechos would be something what we could consider like a keychain, and where a bunch of keys are attached to one another. And beged shutofer b'kilayim is a case of two pieces of wool that are sewn together with a string of linen, a linen string. Now, to wear such a thing would be forbidden. That's shatnez. However, we're not talking about him wearing it. We're talking about the two pieces of wool being attached to one another for whatever reason, but it's clear that you are going to separate them at some point in the future. That's the main point. And likewise with the shlal shel kofsin, it's clear that after the garments are washed, you're going to take apart this bunch of clothing items that are connected right now. So it says regarding these different things here, chibur l'tuma ad shi'as l'hatir. Chibur l'tuma means that if some source of tuma touches one of the items, all the rest will become tomei. So that the chiddush would seem to be that even though they're going to be separated, right now they are together, and tuma touching one will affect the others. It's like touching one is viewed as if you're touching, it's touching all of them. Alma, we see from here, shelo b'shas melocha nami chibur, even when the attachment is not necessary. For example, the shlal shel kofsin, and let's say the items were already washed, so you don't need them to be attached anymore. But nevertheless, the source says that they're considered one with regard to tuma. Chibur, it's called a chibur l'tuma. Even shelo b'shas melocha. V'rominhu. And we have a source that will seem to contradict this. Makel she'osa yad l'kordom. Makel is a stick, but it's a piece of just a random stick that you used as a handle for a karnum, for a hatchet. Chibur l'tuma b'shas melacha. It's considered a yad. A yad is something that in English you would call a handle. It's a handle, which means that if some tuma were to touch the stick, the axe head will become tome as well. But it says in the source it's considered a chibur l'tuma only when you are interested in using the axe for chopping. So that, let's say you're using this axe with this makeshift wooden handle for chopping wood. So in the middle of your use of it, some tuma, a dead sheretz, let's say, touches the stick. The axe head becomes tame. But that's because you're in the middle of using it. That's b'shas melacha in. Shalom b'shas melacha lo. We infer from what we see here that if it's not at the time that you're using it, so then the stick is not viewed as mechubar, as attached to the axe head for tuma transmission. So just to go over the main point, and you can do this with the dashed underlining that we have, just a few lines up, we said, Shelo b'shas melocha, nami chibur, and here, Shelo b'shas melocha, lo, it's not a chibur. Omar lei, so after Rav Yirmiyahu raised the question, Rav Yizeira answers, there's a difference. Hasam, Shelo b'shas melocha, dem osu lezorku levein ho'etzin. In the case of the piece of wood used as a makeshift handle for the axe head, it was a random piece of wood that he simply put in, wedged into the axe, to the axe head. When it's not being used, what people do with this is they'll slip out the wood and throw it amongst this pile of wood that he might use for other things. In other words, it's something that he throws away when it's not being used. He doesn't preserve that random piece of wood for the axe head. He throws it away after he's finished chopping. Hacha, in the case of the shlal shel koifsin, shelo b'shas melocha nami nicholei, even if the clothing had been washed already, so it's called, it's not the time that you need it to be attached, he still is happy that these articles of clothing are attached. If they should become soiled in the interim, they're already attached. He can just throw them in one shot into the wash. Machver is to wash them out, to literally make them white. So that the fact that they are attached, even when he's finished washing with them, it's convenient for them to remain attached, even though it's we call shalom b'shas melacha. So the main point is that it's a matter of mindset, as is the case with so many areas of tumah. Here he's satisfied with their continued attachment. Therefore, tumah that touches one is metame all of them. We go on in the Gemara. We have a little aleph over the word besura, and the next line over pumbadisa beis. What the Gemara says is that we have two versions of a topic that will be presented in a couple of lines from now. The two versions involve the names. So, Besura Masnu Lo Laha Shmaitzo Mishmei de Rav Chisda. In Sura, they will teach the upcoming question in the name of Rav Chisda. Pumbadisa Masnu Mishmei de Rav Kana. In the Yeshiva of Pumbadisa, they teach the upcoming point in the name of Rav Kahana, Yamri Lo Mishmei Rava, and others say in the name of Rava. So, what is the teaching that we just referred to? Man Tana Ha Milsa De Omer Rabbanan. The question is, who is the author of the following Tanaic source? So, as we said, by way of names, in Surah, they said that Rav Chisda asked this question, and Pumbadisa, they say that Rav Kahana, and some say Rava, asked this question. The question of, who is the author of the following Tanaic source? Kol ha-mechubur lo harei hu kamahu. Anything that is attached to it is like it. That's a bit obscure, but we'll appreciate this as we go on in the Gemara. Before we learn the continued text of Gemara, let's just glance at the side under our Nosei heading. We will see here a machloikes tanoim, a Tanaic controversy, the inyan hakelim hamechuborim lekiru shocheres, different vessels that are attached to an earthenware, a clay kira. Kira is a type of oven. We feature this more extensively in the third parak of this Masechta, but for our purposes, it's enough that we describe it as a type of oven. The appurtenances that are attached to it in Nechshavim Mechuborim, the Inyan Tuma, are they considered attached to it with regard to matters of Tuma? We'll talk about two types of Tuma: Tumas Maga, that would mean that something touches them or touches the Kira, and the fact that, let's say, a dead sheretz touches one of the appurtenances or touches the kira, will that affect the other things attached to it? And another topic is tumas avir. We mentioned this was a clay kira. Clay items, the Torah tells us, are makabel tuma even without actual contact, even without mago. Mago is contact. But even if the dead sheretz is dangling in the airspace, Tumah is communicated. So we want to know not about the original item that had the Tumah either in its airspace or contact, but what effect does that have on the other vessels that are attached to the Kirov. The source we just read, which we saw was a little vague, was it said, Kol ha-mechuber lo harei u-kamo, anything that's attached to it is like it. Well, the Omar of Yehuda Omar Rav, Rebbe Meir he. Rav Yehuda answers the question. Now, as far as who asked the question, well, we saw a number of different versions just before this, but he answers, it's Rebbe Meir, this non, and we have a Tanaic source in which two Tanoim appear. Rebbe Meir is the first opinion. The source says, Beis HaPach, Beis HaTavlin, Beis HaNeir, Shebekira. Beis HaPach is it's a type of, it's a holder. It's a holder that's attached to a Kira, in which someone would place a flask of oil to warm up the oil. Beis HaTavlin is a pocket attached to a Kira for holding spices. And Beis HaNeir would be a pocket for that's attached to a Kira for holding a candle. So the source says, Mitamin b'maga v'ein mitamin b'avir, divrei Rebbe Meir. Rashi says, Mitamin b'maga im nofla tuma b'aviron o la'avir hakira v'noga hatuma l'shulei hakira nitnu gam elu. If some form of tuma falls into, Rashi says the airspace, but it's that's tricky. It means the airspace, but it fell into it and touched the bottom of either the kira or one of these appurtenances, then everything else attached becomes tame. And that's point one. And point two in the source, the ein mitamin ba'avir, divrei Rebbe Meir. However, if let's say the source of Tumah, the dead sheretz, was dangling in the airspace of the Kira and didn't actually touch the inside walls of the Kira, so the Kira will be Tomei, but the appurtenances will not. So what we're saying is that anything attached to the Kira is like the Kira. That's true with regard to Tumas Maga, not with regard to Tumas Avir. Rabbi Shimon Mitayer. Rabbi Shimon he says that even if there's actual contact with one of these items, with, let's say, with the Kira, so the things attached to it are not Tomei. Each thing is viewed as a separate entity. But as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, and he is the Shita that we want to focus on, there is attachment. That if the attachment, Legabi Tumo, and if one becomes Tomei, so all the rest become Tomei. The Gemara continues, Bishlamo le Rebbe Shimon. I understand Rebbe Shimon more easily. Kosavar lav kikiro domu. He figures that the Beis HaPach, Beis HaTavlin, Beis HaNeir, they're not like the Kira. In other words, they're viewed as separate entities. So the fact that one becomes Tomei, the others are not affected. Elo le Rebbe Meir. But Rebbe Meir Shita needs clarification. E kikiro domu. If the appurtenances are like the Kira, then if they're considered one and the same, then afilu b'avir nami litmu. So that even if there's tumas avir, where the dead sheretz was dangling in the airspace of the Kira, that should affect the other things as well, the appurtenances as well. E lav kikira domu, if they are not like the Kira, afilu b'mago nami lo litmu. So even if there's actual contact between the tuma and the Kira, the other things should not be affected. And yet Rebbe Meir says they are. The Gemara answers, Li oilom lav kikiro domu, for rabbanon hu de gozru behu. Really, they are not one in the same as the Kira. The Kira is one entity, and the appurtenances have their own identity. They're not one in the same. They're not considered all one unit. So, you'll ask, well then why, in the case of Maga, where there was actual contact between the Tuma and, let us say, the Kira, that the others are affected, that's a rabbinic stringency that was imposed. That's Rabbanan Hu de Gozru Behu. The Gemara asks, "E gozru behu afilu b'avir nami litmu." If it's so that they made such a gzera, so then go all the way and say that with regard to airspace also, tuma in airspace of one, all the rest are tame. The Gemara answers, "Ovdu behu rabbonon hekera." The rabbonon made through their distinction a note of heker. Heker means something to be something. It should be recognizable that they are not really like the kira. Ki hechi delo osi lemisraf alei truma v'kachim. So that we don't come to burn, let's say, truma or kachim that came into contact with one of the other items. This is a very common halachic formulation that you find in the Shas, that the Rabbonin imposed Xera, but they didn't go all the way, because if they went all the way, people would get the impression that the appurtenances are like the Kira itself. So they left a certain area of halacha where they're not treated the same. That will remind people that in principle they're not the same, and being that that's the case, if Trum or Kachim touches one of the appurtenances after the Kira became Tomei, I won't burn them, because I realize this is a rabbinic level of Tuma, and there's a strict prohibition of burning truma or kachim, sacrificial related items, unless they were affected by real Torah level tuma, so as to remind people of the fact that this issue that they are the kira and the appurtenances are not one in the same, and that when you see them treated as one, as is the case of Tumas Magda, that's only the Rabbonin. How will people be reminded of that? Because when it comes to Tumas Avir, so they remain as separate entities. Tonu Rabbonin. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Chibur, attachment, Le'inyan Tuma V'Hazah. Regarding Tuma, this is a topic we just got finished discussing, and Hazah is the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma water, which is the material that's used for purification in the case of Tumas Mace. That's Hazah, and we'll see more about this as we go on in the Gemara. So we have a Tanaic source. It says Maspuras Shel Prokim, the Ismael Shel Rehitni. Maspuras Shel Prokim is most likely a very simple case of a scissors. A scissors is in effect two blades that happen to be attached to one another. Ismael Shel Rehitni. Rashi uses a word that reminds one of the English word, a plane. Plane is a device for shaving wood or smoothing out wood surfaces. So the basic plane is made of metal, and it's attached to a wooden frame with a handle so that you can maneuver it. So that's the Ismael Shel Rehitni, Chibor Lutuma V'ein Chibor Lahazah. That would mean that if, let's say in the case of the scissors, if one blade became Tomei, so the other blade becomes Tomei. Even though in construction they're really two separate blades, but they're attached. So if one becomes Tomei, the other becomes Tomei. However, it says, V'ein Chibur Lazah, that means, well, once they became Tomei, if the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma water lands on one blade, or in the case of the Izemel, it lands on the frame and not on the actual metal filing part, so it doesn't accomplish tara for the whole thing, for the whole unit. The Gemara asks, Monav Shach, well, which way are we going to look at things? I chibur hu afila zonami. If their physical attachment is considered a legal attachment, as you said in the case of Tuma, so it should be an effective attachment with regard to Hazah as well. And that would mean, if you take the case of the scissors, if the Pora Aduma water, when you sprinkle it, it lands on one blade, it should be considered as if it landed on the other blade as well. Ilav Chibur Hu, if the attachment here is not considered a legal attachment, then afilu lo tuma nami lo. Then if the let's say a source of tuma touches one blade, the other blade should not be affected. Omar Rava. We have a marking here, a double underline, which we use to emphasize under our, we see under our mivne heading on the margin, the double underline is featured. We'll be emphasizing terms Devar Torah, and on the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, the expression Gozu Rabbanan. Here, once again, we have a case where we have a Torah level way of, or a Torah level point, and then a rabbinic level. So Rav explains Devar Torah on a Torah level, Bishas Melocha Chibur Bein Lutuma Bein Laza. Bishas Melocha is when the item is used, when it's in use, where you're the two items that are attached to one another are in the state of use. That's Bishas Melocha. It's considered a Chibur for both purposes. That if the, let's say the a dead sheretz touches one blade of the scissors, the other blade becomes tameh. And if it's the time for doing the hazov, the porah aduma water, which is done on the third and seventh day since the initial tumah, so the hazov that lands on one blade will serve as a hazov for the entire scissors. That's on a Torah level. V'shelo b'shas melacha, when they are not being used, so eino chibur lo lutuma v'lo lazah, they're not considered attached whatsoever. There's no chibur, no attachment, whether it's regarding tuma or the hazah. We continue at the top of Mem Tesom Aleph. The gozru rabbonon al tuma shelo b'shas melacha mishum tuma shebishas melacha. The rabbis imposed a stringency with regard to tuma, that even when it's not being used, if the we'll say the dead sheretz, which is one example of tuma, touches one blade, the other blade is effective. And why do they make this? So that you realize, or that you won't come to make any mistake, that in the case of shas melacha, where midoraisa, the other blade becomes tameh. So that they say that under all circumstances, even shalom b'shas melacha, if the tuma touches one blade, the other blade becomes tameh. That's one rabbinic ruling. And the second is ve'al hazah shebishas melacha, regarding the effectiveness, or more accurately, the ineffectiveness of hazah landing on one blade, even though it's while you are using the scissors. The hazah lands on one blade, it doesn't affect the other blade. And why do we impose this stringency? Mishum hazah shelo b'shas melacha. So that you realize that, or you don't come to a mistake when you're doing the hazah, when the items are not being used, there the hazah landing on one blade will midoraisa not affect the other blade. So we say that even when you're using it, we don't want you to think that the hazah landing on one will be effective for the other. At this point in the Gemara, returns now to the issue of hatmona. But in the context of our Daf Yomi Shurim, with this we conclude our shiur for today.